Now shall we read a few more verses in the New Testament? In the first epistle general of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll read at verse 13. Wherefore, guide up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and give him glory, that your faith and that your hope might be in God. Now may God bless to us that reading from his own word. I want this morning, at the very outset, to share with you a secret. It's a secret that you find in the pages of Scripture. A secret that every true child of God knows. And a secret that God would want you all to know. A number of months ago, or perhaps a bit longer than that, I was one evening wondering on what to preach to a certain congregation. And as I was sitting, thinking and probing and perhaps struggling, it was as if I heard an inner voice or a thought in my own head with this text. And this is the way that it came to me. It was as if I was being pressed to do this. And it suggested to me that, go, you, it said, and go to the people and shout this text. Now you might say, God doesn't tell people to go and shout until you turn to the prophecy of Isaiah and you find that he did it to the prophet Isaiah. Shout, he says, cry aloud unto my people, show them their transgressions and tell them about their sins. But this text that I'm going to share with you this morning is not one like that. And it was as if the Lord said, go and shout this text. Compel the people to hear this text. There's nothing more important in the whole world for them to know than this text. Compel them to hear it. Go further than that. Beg the people to grasp this text. Shout to them this text. Compel them to hear it. Beg them to grasp it. And plead with the people to rest on it. plead with them. And as I was thinking, it was as if a conversation was taking place between the Lord and myself. And I sometimes wonder how very few these are, even in prayer. But it was as if the thought came, tell them about this text. Tell them that it'll take the vilest, farthest gone sinner in the congregation to heaven. Just like that. Tell them that. Tell them it'll bring peace to the most fearful heart in the congregation. To the person that's been wanting for years to feel the peace of God. Wanting for years to know what it is to be safe for eternity. You just go and tell them that this text will bring peace to the most fearful heart. And tell them something else. Tell them that this text has the stamp of heaven upon it. Say it to them during the sermon again and again and again. Now here's the text. I want you to listen to it. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Go and tell them that. Shout them this text. Compel them to hear it. Beg them to grasp it. Plead with them to rest upon it. Tell them that it will take them, the vilest sinner in the congregation, to heaven. It will bring peace to the most fearful heart. And it's got the stamp of heaven on it. Say it again and again and again. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And you know, I'm sorely tempted to get everyone in the congregation, young and old, just to repeat that word of God after me this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Glory to God. It cleanses from all sin. And if you take that text, you just look at it, you'll find, just as you look at it to begin with, five things jumping out of it. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. The blood of Christ is a great remedy. It's a great remedy. Because it's the only remedy. We'll see that in a minute. It's the only remedy. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever you've been, whatever you regret, whatever causes you pain in the labyrinth of your memory, there's only one remedy. Not tears, not even repentance. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Can you see it? See from his head, his hands, his feet. Sorrow and blood flow mingled down. Did e'er such love, such sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? A great remedy. It's the only one, the blood of Christ. A divine remedy, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. A divine remedy. Oh, this remedy was not manufactured in the minds of men. It was not the height of religious knowledge that men grasped. It was God's remedy. And it was presented to the world in the person of his Son on a tree. It's a divine remedy, a great remedy, And as you look at it, you'll find it's a certain remedy. It cleanses. It gets rid of it, as if they'd never been. It's wonderful to get rid of your sin. You and I regret many of them, don't we? There are sins in the rooms of our mind. We shut the door of them. We pray that nobody will ever open that door. We wouldn't like our husbands to see them, our wives or our children or our friends. We shut the door, but they're still there. They've not been cleansed, maybe, for some. Oh, but this is a certain remedy. It cleanseth. I say it's a glorious remedy. Why? It cleanseth from all sin. All sin. Everyone. I will remember your sins and your iniquities no more, says God. When? When you've come to the blood of Christ. And he put it like this, and maybe more literal than you thought. Some of you this morning, you got up out of bed and you were sleepy and you were weary maybe, and you felt a little bit, maybe even dirty, and you went under the shower, and the shower came over you and it cleaned the body. I want you to think of the blood that came from Jesus just like that. And as you by faith go to him, God cleanses you with his blood. Yes, it's a glorious remedy. It's the only remedy. Now then, and before we go on, embed that text in your mind. You'll find that text the key to eternal life. Can we say it again together? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Praise be to God, there's a remedy. And it's a remedy that makes us fit for heaven itself. And when the myriads of years have passed and time is no more and we walk through the city of God, we'll be saying it unto him who loved us and washed us what? In his blood. Away with the theologians who've destroyed for the church the doctrine of the blood. Yes, it's a great remedy. Now if you look at the New Testament and the Old, you'll find that in the Old there is the shadow. It's a very clear shadow, actually, that we read. And then the fulfillment and the development is in the New Testament. Now normally I would go to the Old Testament first and work through to the New, but not this morning, because my text is the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's particularly in the New Testament. And I want to look at certain things very simply about the blood of Christ before we go back, maybe just for a moment, to the Old. Remember when we come to the communion table, the words that the minister always uses is, "This is my blood shed for you." Now listen to the first thing about the blood of the Lord Jesus. We are not redeemed, says Peter, with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We are not redeemed. That word redeemed tells us that the blood of Christ is the ransom, the cost of the salvation of God's people. The cost. The price that the law of God, the holy law of God, demanded. And the price that the holy character of God accepted. Hallelujah. It was the price that the law of God demanded. The innocent blood in atoning agony for the guilty who deserved it. Ah, the law of God demanded the shedding of blood. And the law of God demands yet the punishment of our sin, whether in our own body, in hell, or in his body on the cross. And what the holy God, law of God demanded, the holy character of God accepted. We're told in the Old Testament there was life in the blood, and it was the shedding of the life, the pure, innocent life of the Son of God that was the ransom for our sin. As one wrote many years ago, it's a quote that I remember that I think it was Mr. MacDonald and Greyfriars had made up into a tract. And it went like this: upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, I stake my whole eternity on the blood of Jesus Christ. A sinless life, a sinless blood, and the life is in the blood. And so it's the blood of Jesus that he shed that we are redeemed by. Listen to the next thing the New Testament says about the blood. Having made peace by the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. You see, man was at war with God, with the Creator. Christ made peace. Man is empty and fearful. Christ gives peace. And when Christ gave himself for his church, war terminated for the church of God. He made peace with God by the blood of his cross. Nothing else can do it. We daren't think that we can do it. Our best efforts. Oh, don't be silly. We've got to look at the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And again the apostle says, you who were afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ brings us into a new fellowship with God. When we trust him and his blood, we are brought at that moment into a new fellowship with God. Until that moment, the Bible says we are aliens. We have not got the passport to take us to heaven. We are strangers. We're not among the people of God. We're hopeless. We're living in a fool's paradise. We have no hope, and we're without God. We're creatures without a creator. But when we come by faith to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, we who are afar off are brought near. We're brought into a new fellowship. We're brought into a new family. And we're brought into a new future. Are you saved, my friend, by the blood of the Lamb this morning? Are you trusting? I remember when we were young, I forget how it went, we used to sing somewhere anyway, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. You see, the blood brings men into a new fellowship with God. That's the secret. And then we read again, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Past sins, all our accumulated guilt, the present sin that's harassing us just now with its guilt feelings, and all the sins that the people of God may do in the future, accumulated guilt, present guilt, future guilt, they are all reckoned with by the blood of the cross. So we can have freedom from fear, freedom from guilt, freedom from a tormenting conscience. We can take our fears and our guilt and our consciences to the cross of Calvary and lay them under the blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When we want to pray to God, how do we approach him? The Bible says this. The blood of Jesus gives believers access into the presence of God directly. It goes like this. Having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We can go to God time and again and say we're sorry when we go on the ground of the blood. Let me finish now, rather than going on with this. In heaven, the blood of Christ is the theme of the church for eternity. They sang a new song, it's written, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open it, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." John looked through the window into the future to when the great books were opened. No one was worthy to open the books. And one said, "But the Lamb is worthy." And he opened the books. And then we read, they sang a new song. "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open it." Why? Because you were slain and you redeemed us to God by your blood. But you know the beautiful thing about that? Is that the Lamb is alive. Time is no more. And the one who shed his blood is in heaven. And it may be said, as it was said to the prophet, "What are these wounds in your hands?" "Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends, when I was shedding my blood to ensure that they got to heaven." Can we say it again then? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now let's be personal. Go back to the beginning now, to where we have the first reference in an enlarged way to the blood. Israel was in captivity under the heel of Egypt. They were slaves. The door of hope seemed to be totally shut. And yet, Israel's God, through Moses, came to the nation and said, "Tomorrow, I'm going to lead you out of slavery. I'm going to lead you into the promised land. I'm going to lead you to that which I've prepared for you." It seemed impossible. God said through Moses, "I'm going to bring the final plague on Pharaoh. I'm going to smite in judgment his firstborn. But I want the children of Israel to know that it's me myself that's going to do it. They have no part in it. And so I want the children of Israel, every home, who will listen to my word and who will obey me, to take a lamb without blemish," that's a lamb that had no faults in it, "to slay the lamb, and then when the blood is drained into a basin, to eat the lamb as their sustenance for the journey." And there's a sense we don't go into this morning where Christ is our sustenance for the journey. But the lamb's blood, the innocent blood, was to be collected in a basin. And with a branch of hyssop, it was to be sprinkled over the door. And God says, I'm going to send my angel through this night. And every door that has not got the blood upon it, the firstborn will die. And that was the first teaching of the blood, the innocent blood that directs our attention to the blood of Jesus Christ in its fulfillment. Now then, that evening, everyone in Israel were given the same opportunity as I'm giving to you this morning. God said, put all your confidence on the blood. Death will not touch you if the blood is on your door. And God said to you this morning, death and hell and judgment, in their full intensity, will never be yours if you're trusting in the blood of my own dear precious Son. And so as the Israelites killed the lamb, put the blood on the door, they went into their houses for that one night. They weren't allowed out in the streets to wait. And God uses these words. And I want you to remember them, because this is what God is saying to you and me. He's saying, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Imagine you're an Israelite. God saying, when I see the blood. You see how the blood was put on the door? Well, God is asking you this morning to do the same thing in faith. In faith, he's asking you to look at the cross and the blood that Jesus shed when he gave his life. He's asking you to look at that blood and to take shelter under it for all your sin. Trust him to cleanse you with it, protect you through it. Put your faith in the blood of God's Son, as the Israelites put their faith in the blood of the Lamb. And if you do that, I want to tell you something. Some of you feel that if you're ever going to be converted, you're going to have a mystical feeling. It's going to be like a light shining. You don't know what it is, but when it'll come, you'll know it. You've thought that someday you'll wake up and you'll be totally different. I'm saying to you this morning, no. No. I'm saying to you that as guilty, sinful people, all of us, that we have to do what the children of Israel did that night. Trust in the blood. And I say to you, when you do that, you'll be saved. And you'll be saved this morning as you do that. Look at the picture so that you understand it from God. Look at what it doesn't say. What does it say? When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now, what doesn't it say? It's important to know what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, when I see your repentance, I will pass by. Your repentance is a good thing and a necessary thing. You've got to say you're sorry to God. But it's not when he sees your repentance that he passes by. It's when he sees you putting faith in the blood of his own blessed Son. Not in your repentance. And I'll tell you another thing it doesn't say. It doesn't say, when I see your prayers, I'll pass you by. Not even that. You can pray to God. And some of you have prayed many a time, oh God, that you will save me and make me a Christian. And you're saying to yourself, I don't know whether he's answered that prayer or not. I'll tell you when he'll answer your prayer. Immediately, you put your faith in the blood of his Son. When I see the blood, I'll pass by. And to you and me, when I see you putting the blood of Jesus as the foundation of your hope, when you trust in that blood, I'll pass by. Not when I see your prayers. Not when I see your regrets. Many of us regret what we've been and what we've done, and it's good to regret. But God doesn't say, when I see your regrets, I will pass by. It's when I see the blood. He doesn't say, when I see your tears, I'll pass you by. Oh, you say, I'm so hard, I wish I could cry. Oh, I can't be any good because I'm not crying. Oh, my friends, to be sorry and to cry is a good thing. But God does not save you because you're sorry and because you cry. You can be as hard as the rocks in a moment, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God will show you that the only hope you've got is the blood. And you'll say, God, wash me in the blood. I'm trusting in the blood. And then you're forgiven. It's not when I see your tears. It's not when I see your efforts to change yourselves and make yourselves better coming to church. It's not even when I see your faith. It's not when I see your attendance at the prayer meeting. It's not when I see your attendance at the prayer meeting. But when I see the blood. You know, three things. And you're almost finished. You see, when I see the blood, it tells us something. The blood is something that's got nothing to do with you. Oh, I'm thankful for that, my friends. If ever I was thankful for anything in my life, it's thankful that I've got nothing to do with my own salvation. Nothing to do with it. It's the blood. And so, it's something you've got nothing to do with. It's something you've got no part in. It's something God Himself has provided. Not the amount of your strong faith, or even the lack of it, but the blood of the cross. You go down to Egypt that night, you know there's many different types of people, no doubt, down there in Egypt. We'll close with this. We'll go to one or two houses and we'll finish. The instructions have been given by God. The blood of the Lamb has been put on the door. The warning has been given by God. If you've not got the blood in the door, I will destroy. And the promise has been given by God, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. Now, there are many different types of people and types of faith, for instance. You would go to Israel that night, you would get many different reactions in the houses, I'm sure. Let's go into the house, first of all, maybe of, we'll call him Jacob the tailor. How do you feel, Jacob, we might say? How are you feeling tonight? Oh, it's a fearful night tonight. Are you nervous? Yes. How do you feel? Oh, I feel very unworthy. You feel very unworthy, yes. What is your hope? What's your hope tonight? Oh, I'm just trusting in the blood in the door. But, Jacob, you've been a worshipper of God all your life. They respect you in the synagogue. You never miss going to church. Oh, yes, he says, that's very true. I've been a worshipper. But God says to me, you'll only be saved, Jacob, if the blood's in the door. When I see the blood, and you know, he says, although I feel unworthy, and I know that I am unworthy, and I know that I've tried to walk with God all my life, it matters nothing as far as my salvation is concerned. I'm trusting tonight in the blood. And hath not God promised? Has He not promised? When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's my hope. Have you got that hope? Oh, that's Jacob and Taylor. Perhaps we would go into the house of Benjamin, the toolmaker, the man of business, businessman in the community. And how are you feeling tonight, Benjamin, we might say to him. You're a man of business, and yet you take a place in the house of God. They respect you. Oh, yes, he says. Perhaps I've been taking up too much with business. Perhaps it's had a bigger hold in my life than I thought. Perhaps the material things of life have kept me from the true walk with God as I should have walked it. I know many a man of business might feel that night, because if judgment comes to Benjamin's house, all his materialism is not going to be of any value. What about you, Benjamin? How are you feeling? Have you any fear tonight? Yes, he says, I've been too much in the world. I've had too little time for God and His Word and prayer. I'm very much afraid tonight. You can feel the sense of God in Egypt. Have you?
Yes.
But have you any hope, Benjamin?
Yes.
Can Jehovah break His word? Can Jehovah break His word? Has He not said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you? And although before my mind are all those regrets of the days that I didn't serve Him fully, where busyness came in and it strangled so much of the things of God in me, oh, tonight I'm stripped of everything, but I'm going to have the blood on the door. And hath not Jehovah said, when I see the blood, I will pass over? Well, Benjamin, learn the lesson for the future. Oh, what did he say? Well, the first man says, I'm unworthy, but I'm trusting in the blood. What does Benjamin say? I'm fearful, but I'm trusting in the blood. You go down the road to Levi, the priest, or the school teacher, they were both the same in those days. And we say to this old priest, Levi, how confident are you? Surely, Levi, you're a teacher. You teach in the school, you teach the young people. You're one of the head men in the synagogue. All your work has been specially geared to God. How are you feeling tonight? Yes, that's true. My work has been for God. But all my work will not avail anything tonight. All that I've done, all that I've been, all that I've sought to do, it will avail nothing tonight. It's the blood or destruction. How do you feel, Levi? Oh, I feel helpless, but I'm trusting. And so there you find three different men. One of them feels unworthy, but he's trusting. The other feels terrible, fearful, but he's trusting. And the other feels helpless, but he's trusting. And then if you would go along the road, you might go into the house of Asaph, the poet and the singer. What about you, Asaph, we might say to him. How are you feeling tonight? Oh, he might say to you, he's a different kettle of fish, is Asaph. Thank God for the Asaphs of this world. How are you feeling, Asaph? Oh, he says, I feel supremely confident. You do? Yes, he said. After it's all over, he said, tomorrow I'll compose a psalm. And I'll have it sung in Israel of how the Lord delivered His people through the blood. Different kettle of fish. I'll compose a psalm. Has not our great Jehovah spoken? Has not our great Jehovah ever failed us yet? The lamb, brother, is already slain and it's on the door. He says, I'm rejoicing with supreme confidence and I can sing, I know Him whom I've believed. You see, he was different. But he was trusting on the blood. Are you trusting in the blood of Jesus? You could go down the road to Caleb the winemaker. What of you, Caleb? Oh no, Caleb's in every good free church. What do you feel? Oh, says Caleb, I suspect my repentance, it's poor. You do, yes. And I suspect that my faith is very poor, yes. And I suspect my love is very poor for the Lord, yes. Caleb, were you not that rebel of old when one time in your life you had no time for God at all?
Yes.
Did you not forget God for years of your life, you told us, and then you found him?
Yes.
Did you not listen to the truth for years and harden yourself?
Yes, yes, yes.
But then one day came and I believed in Jehovah. And how are you feeling tonight with your repentance so poor and your faith so poor and your love so poor?
Oh, yes, he says, but strangely, 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 in my heart, he says, I'm trusting in the blood. I'm trusting.
Two doors along is Martha the widow. How do you feel, Martha?
Oh, my faith is tempted. Since I lost my husband, I've had trials that you would never know existed. I feel my life has been inconsistent. I feel that I've lost so many battles with my selfishness. I've said, why, God, did you do this to me? Why did you let me be in this condition? Why was I not like other people to enjoy my husband and my friends? And yet I've turned to live the way of truth through it. But I've put my hope in the blood. I'm one that hopes against hope. And there's one more, at least. Maybe two. There's David the moneylender down the road, the materialist. What about you, David? Oh, this religious rubbish, he says. This religious rubbish. You don't look at things as they are, he says. Look at that, he says. There's 100,000 soldiers guarding us. There's a king who hates us on the throne. We've been despised and made to build bricks even without straw. God, he says, it's all superstitious. It's all superstition. How can we get out of the chains of Egypt? There's no God at all. And I don't care if there is one. I'm going to do as I please. Look at the poverty in Israel. Look at the suffering. I will not put the blood on my door. And you're here like that. You'll not put the blood in your door. Like David the moneylender. And then I hope you're not like this last one. Isaac, the self-righteous man. What about you, Isaac? How are you feeling tonight? You know, the judgment of God is coming tonight. How are you feeling? And he puts his hands like this and he says, Oh, you know, I'm not strong enough to put the blood on the door. Not strong enough. I'm too much of a sinner to put the blood on the door. Oh, I'm not worthy to put the blood on the door. I'll just sit in and I'll die. And he died without putting the blood on the door. And that night, the angel of God came through the city. He came to the house of the first man, to the house of Asaph the poet. And I'm sure when he passed Asaph's house, it would be even Asaph might even be having a wee look through the window to see him passing, so that he would put another verse into his psalm of praise to his God. He was totally confident. Yes, he came even to the house of Caleb the winemaker, who suspected everything religious he had, but he was still putting his trust in the blood. He passed the door of Martha the widow, and then he came to the last two. To David the moneylender. And David was in his room. And the door opened. And the angel of judgment came in and inflicted death. And then he came to Isaac the self-righteous.
And for all his humility, he was a stubborn old sinner. He'd refused to put the blood of God at his door. He'd refused the way of mercy. And now I come to the free north. And I say to you, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you from all your sins. And I ask you this morning to put your trust in the blood, and you'll go to heaven. And remember, it's the blood of God's Son. Trust him this morning as your Savior. Young or old, it doesn't matter. All that's going to take you to heaven is the blood of the cross. Not your amount of faith in it, be it small or great. Not your amount of joy through it. Not your amount of peace. It's the blood. And if you've seen it this morning, thank God for the blood that he shed on the cross. Is that your hope? May it be so. Shall we pray? Oh God, we thank thee that the blood has been shed. We thank thee that the blood has been offered, made available. We thank thee that the blood is efficacious. And we ask you now, O God, in this moment of quiet prayer, that those who've listened and perhaps seen for the first time that they do nothing to save themselves, but thank Jesus for shedding his blood and trusting in him, that they may do so now in a prayer of their own to their God. Help them now to pray, O God, and to thank thee for shedding blood, to thank Jesus for dying, to pour out his blood to clean them. And from this morning forward, may such have only hope in the blood of Jesus, God's Son. May such make their commitment now, we pray thee. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you at the moment of death and at the great day of judgment. We thank thee, O God. Help us to value the blood. And in valuing the blood, value him who shed it. May we follow him as a disciple from this day onwards, knowing that he will see us through, for Jesus' sake. Amen.